And so, Father, it's a privilege to be able to worship you, to give you the one thing that you don't have, and that is our free love expression, our free response to you, our free choice of offering ourselves as living sacrifices, of surrendering to you. And so, Father, it is a joy. It is a joy to worship you and to express the desire of our heart that Jesus, you would be exalted and that we would offer our very selves to you in response to your offering yourselves for us. So, Father, we worship you and we count it a privilege to be able to lift our voices this day to you. We pray, Father, as we look into your word, that you would open the eyes of our hearts, that you would give us minds to understand, that we would be changed as we come to know you more, and that you would speak to us, Holy Spirit, by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you to the worship team for leading us, and thank you to all of you as well for, I'm sure for some, it may be enduring something that isn't the way you choose to do it, but I find that when we're out of the norm, when we're doing things that are not usual, that then that often opens us up to be able to experience and to know God in ways that we would not have before, because we're out of the routine, we're out of the norm, and we've come back to the purpose. So I'm thankful for the worship team's willingness to lead us in that way, and for your willingness to participate in that way. I invite you to open a Bible, if you have one, to the book of Matthew, to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, about two-thirds of the way towards the back of a Bible. If you have a written copy there in front of you, feel free to use a phone or tablet, whatever you may have, to look into God's Word this morning. This morning we finish a series that we've been doing over the last weeks on learning to receive, and today we're going to be looking at the topic of for the sake of the world. And as we've been going through this series on learning to receive, as it comes to an end today with the purpose of really what this whole series leads us to an end of, is that we would receive not just for ourselves, but that the reason that we receive from God is not so that it might end with us, but so that it might be given away. And so the title of this message is For the Sake of the World, and it's taken from a song by Brian Johnson with the lyrics, the title of it, For the Sake of the World. And the whole lyrics are focused on this whole idea that we are living not for ourselves, that everything that we receive is not for myself, but it's for the sake of the world. That we receive in order to give. That we receive in order to give. Because, you know, sometimes we focus on receiving without intending to give away. Or we give without first receiving. And I don't know about you, but I find myself in that place a lot especially during COVID. I feel like I've just had to do. And in the midst of all this extra doing, I have not been finding myself in a place of receiving well. And so one of receiving without the intention of giving, or the other of giving without first receiving, both of them lead us in a place where we're not going to be able to live for the sake of the world. So the lyrics, I want to just run through the lyrics for you real quick so you have a sense of it. The first verse says this. It says, I'm laying down my life. And right along what we sang this morning, I surrender all. I'm laying down my life. I'm giving up control. I'm never looking back. You know, the cross before me, the world behind me. I'm never looking back. I surrender all. I'm living for my glory on the earth, right? No, I'm living for whose glory? Your glory, the Lord's glory on the earth. The next slide says this. This passion in my heart, this stirring in my soul, is to see the nations bow and for all the world to know that I'm living for whose glory? His glory on the earth. The chorus goes like this. for the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. Light a flame in my soul for every eye to see. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. See, the reason that we receive, the reason that Israel received the glory, the reason that Israel was marked by his presence was for the world to see. And it's the same for us as his people today. The reason that we receive from the Lord is so that the world would know the same Jesus that we have come to know. And so it is for the sake of the world that we receive. But we cannot just receive for ourselves, or we cannot do without receiving. The two go hand in hand. May we understand today that we receive for the sake of the world. Matthew chapter 10, I want to read the first eight verses. We're going to focus just on verses 7 and 8. Jesus is coming to a place in his ministry where he's been doing ministry. He's had the Sermon on the Mount in chapters 5 and 6 and 7. Where he's had times of doing ministry, of healing people. He's been beginning teaching. And now he's come to the place in his time of earthly ministry where he is sending out his 12 disciples to do ministry just as he has. And so beginning in verse 1, it says, he called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil or unclean spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. And then he goes through in verses 2 through 4, Matthew lists the 12 disciples. Verse 5, it says, these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. At this point in the ministry of Jesus, he was ministering only to the lost sheep of Israel. And so he gives a specific commission, go to the lost sheep of Israel, no one else. When it comes to the Great Commission, at the end of the book, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus sends his disciples to all nations. It's come to a place in God's redemptive history where it's not just Israel, but it's all nations that will be received. And so as they go, verse 7 and 8, here is where we focus on today. He says, as you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons, for freely you have received, freely give. Where Jesus finishes in verse 8 is where we start this morning. As we talk about receiving for the sake of the world, here is two thoughts. First thought is this, receive freely, give freely. Receive freely, give freely. Jesus summarizes the motive for this whole message, this whole time that we'll look into the word this morning, in this one powerful statement, freely you have received, freely give. Now, the order is of utmost importance. You see, it is because you have received salvation. It is because you have received his Spirit. It is because you have received his presence. It's because you have received his love and his grace that you are able to give. This whole series began with receiving is all about his grace. That we don't come to the Lord and say, I'm going to do to earn or deserve anything from you. But we come, and I shared the story about how in time of worship, and Lord, what do you want to do? I was raising my hands to him. I want to, Lord, I'm coming to get you. I'm reaching out to you because I want to know you. And how he turned my hands, literally it was the Spirit of God turning my hands, and for the next 30 minutes I was stuck in this position, and he clearly spoken to me, you can't do anything to get to me. You have to receive from me. It's changed the way I approach my relationship with Jesus. It's not about me earning or deserving. It's all about grace. It's all about receiving. For freely, freely you have received. Not you have earned and deserved, therefore you have received. You've been a really good boy or a really good girl, therefore you have received. You followed all the rules to a T, therefore you have received. You've given, you've served, you've done a lot for me, therefore you have received. He doesn't say anything like that. He says, freely you have received. And so because we have freely received, not earning or deserving, but with open hands receiving, because we have received, we give. Once you have received, it's now our responsibility to freely give. We receive to give away. And the way that we give, the motivation that we give, is the same way that we receive. Just as we freely received, now we freely give. Sometimes we give requiring others to earn or deserve. Sometimes we give with an expectation that in my giving, you now will give back to me. Sometimes it's hard for us even to receive from another person. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's hard for me to receive from another person because I want to now do something back. And so freely we've received, freely we give with no strings attached. If we give because the Lord has given to us, that means that we may never receive anything back from that person. And we weren't intended to. For freely we have received, now we freely give. Freely, extravagantly, lovingly giving as the Spirit of God leads us. You know, when I think of this whole idea of freely you have received, now freely give, I think of a sponge. And this is kind of a, intentionally got an older, used, kind of nasty one. And this thing is hard. It's kind of bristly. If I were to go and wash my car, or even better, if I were to go and wash your car, you wouldn't want me to use this, would you? Right now, at least. Because if I use this, all I'm going to do is grind that dirt in more, and I very possibly may scratch the paint job on your car. This on its own is not going to do much good right now. But if I put this dried out nasty sponge in some water and let it soak that water up for a little bit, now that hard, nasty sponge, now it is soft and pliable. Now you'd be happy for me to go wash your car with this, right? See, we are like these sponges. If we go and we just try to do, give without receiving, we don't have anything to give away. And we may actually find ourselves causing more damage than good. But conversely, if we just sit in the presence of the Lord and we receive and receive and receive and receive and receive, we're just this full sponge, but we're never going to have anything more to receive. Why? Because we're saturated already. The way we receive more and grow more is to receive, to be squeezed out and use what we receive from him, so that then we have to come back and be in his presence again, and we receive more from him, and we come to know him more, and we're changed more by him, and then we go and we're squeezed out more. We're living not for our own sake and our own glory, but for his glory and for the sake of the world. And so this is why it is so important that we spend time with the Lord in scripture, that we spend time with the Lord in prayer, that we spend time waiting on God, that we spend time listening for his voice, so that we're able to remain in Christ, so we're able to be continually being filled with the Spirit, so we're able to be carrying his presence, so that we're able to give something, we have something to give away. For freely, freely you have received. So now freely go and give for the sake of the world. Second main thought is this. What do we do when we go give? Well, we do kingdom work. We do kingdom work. In verses 7 and 8, there are two aspects that Jesus gives to his disciples of what kingdom work is. The first is what we can call kingdom proclamation. Kingdom proclamation. Look at what he says. He says, as you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus gave the disciples the mission of telling others that the kingdom of God was near. Now, a lot of times when we hear the word near, we think about time frame. And a lot of believers, a lot of teachers have taught that it's about the kingdom of God is a coming thing. And in the weeks to come, we're going to actually be spending some time on what is the kingdom of God and how do we live and what does it look like to be kingdom people beginning next week. But sometimes when we talk about the kingdom, it's something that is coming when Jesus returns. And so the kingdom is this future thing. We'll talk a little bit about that next week. It is a future thing. But when Jesus is talking and he says the kingdom of God is near, he's not talking about a time frame. He's talking about proximity. He's talking about closeness. He's saying the kingdom of God is right in front of you. The kingdom of God is near you. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is here now. The kingdom of God is ready for you to enter into. So what Jesus is telling his disciples and what he's encouraging us and commanding us all as ones who have been passed down this commission from the disciples, from Jesus, is that when we preach, and understand this, preachers are not the only ones to preach. Can we all get an amen on that? Preachers are not the only one that preach. If you are a believer in Christ, guess what? You are a preacher. Now, you may not do it with a sermon outline, and you may not do it on a Sunday morning, but all preaching is proclaiming, shouting. It has the idea of standing on the rooftops and shouting, proclaiming a message. And so every single believer in Christ is a preacher, a proclaimer of the message that the kingdom of God is near. If a person hears it, that means the kingdom is near and has an opportunity for that person to receive and to enter into the kingdom. Jesus's key message when he started his ministry and many times is repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. It's the same message he's given to them. Believe, repent, that the kingdom is here as Jesus has come. And so because Jesus has come, it's present. The complete fullness of it we'll talk about in the weeks to come is yet to come, but the kingdom has come and it's breaking through. Heaven is breaking through to earth. And the good news is that any person who hears that message, who repents and believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, can enter into the kingdom. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand right now. It's near. Anyone who hears this message through their faith in Christ can enter into the kingdom. And so Jesus tells his disciples, go and proclaim that the kingdom has come. It's come through Christ. And so enter in. Repent and enter into the kingdom. Friends, I don't know about you, but this is the greatest message. This is the greatest news that anyone could ever hear. And the greatest message and the greatest news that you could ever share with anybody. That God has brought his kingdom to earth, and he's done it through the person of Jesus Christ. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved and will enter into this kingdom that is here present, and one day will be with him forever and ever and ever face to face. That's good news. And he says, go and proclaim it. As you are going, proclaim the message. It's kingdom proclamation. Every single one of it, every single one of you, if you've received it, you're a preacher proclaimer of it. So go preach and proclaim it. Kingdom work is kingdom proclamation, but it's also kingdom demonstration. It's also kingdom demonstration. Jesus said, as you go, preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, and drive out demons. See, with the arrival of the kingdom, with the proclaiming of it, with the preaching of the kingdom, there is also the opportunity to demonstrate what it looks like. And so the disciples who proclaimed the message also were given the task and given the authority to demonstrate what the kingdom looks like. So let me ask you something. In the kingdom of heaven, is there anybody, when the kingdom has fully come, is there anybody who will be sick? No, it's not a trick question. Is there anybody who will be sick? No. In the kingdom of heaven, is there anybody who will be dead? No, will be raised to life. In the kingdom of heaven, is there anybody who will be afflicted with leprosy? No. In the kingdom of heaven, lepers not only had this skin condition that was incurable, that they were also cast out from society. They were the outcasts. They were the untouchables. They were the ones who didn't belong anymore. In the kingdom of heaven, is there anybody who is disenfranchised, who is oppressed, who is cast out? No. In the kingdom of heaven, is there anybody who is afflicted with a demon? No. And so Jesus is saying this. He's saying, as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. For all those who will enter in, you can enter into the kingdom of heaven. But also, because the kingdom is near, things like sickness, there's potential to be healed. Because the kingdom is near. This one's a little harder to believe sometimes. Dead people can get raised from the dead. People did it. In the kingdom, people who have sicknesses and diseases like leprosy can get cured. In the kingdom, those who are on the outside looking in, the poor, the oppressed, they can be welcomed in. Those who are a part of injustice can be welcomed in and have justice be done. In the kingdom, those who are afflicted by demonic spirits, be set free. See, Jesus didn't just say, go give them a message that one day the world's going to be better and that they can enter into a relationship with God. Go tell them that the kingdom has come and they can enter into a relationship with God here on earth. But then go help them to understand and go live in the kingdom that has come already, knowing that one day it will fully come. It's why not everybody gets healed. It's why people still die. But go give them a taste of what heaven is like. Don't just tell them about it and tell them spiritually to enter in. Go show the world what the kingdom is like. Go show them what it's going to look like when King Jesus comes and makes everything right. You see, demonstrating the message gives the proclamation of the message validity. And proclaiming the message and then demonstrating it shows that what Jesus paid for is actually true. The two go hand in hand. Now, oftentimes, what happens is we go on one or the other. What would be classified as more liberal denominations go really heavy on the demonstration. But they rarely talk about the proclamation. And so it's all about meeting needs and it's social and all these things. But there isn't a lot of belief that Jesus is the only way and that salvation is in Christ alone. Now, we would be considered more of an evangelical denomination. And so what evangelicals have done is they say, well, that's bad because you can fix people's problems here on earth, but they're still going to go to hell because you didn't tell them about Jesus. So what evangelicals have done in general have swung the other way, and it's all about proclamation. It's about spiritual. It's about the message. It's about sin and hell and get them saved. But not as much on demonstrating what the gospel looks like, the kingdom on earth. And I'll be so bold as to say both of those are wrong. Both of those are incomplete. If you proclaim the gospel but don't demonstrate it, we're not being faithful to Christ. If we demonstrate the gospel but don't tell people how to enter into the kingdom, we're not being faithful to Christ. has to be both. Have to be both. I fear that we swing, and I see it, and I see it. It's our tendencies. We swing towards one to the exclusion of the other. And friends, we have to be about both. Jesus came to upset kingdoms. Jesus came to heal diseases. Jesus came to set captives free from demonic influence. Jesus came to bring a level playing ground for all people, regardless of gender or race or anything, or economics. It's equal. And so we need to be people who are passionate about kingdom proclamation, but also just as passionate about kingdom demonstration. We must give both. For freely we have received both. Several years ago, I went on a missions trip to a creative access country in Central Asia. And I was with a team of four other pastors and pastors' wives in our district. And the field that we went to, they were just getting started. They had only been there about a year and a half, and they were still trying to figure out what the Lord had for them, and they were starting to get some ministries established. They were in the midst of their language study. They were really getting going, but in the midst of it, they were also getting kind of worn out, because not only were they trying to start their ministry, they were also having to do language study full time, and they were coming to the end of language study, and it was just getting tiring. And so one of the things that we did while we were there, they had a retreat that was planned and went away with them for a weekend. And, you know, we had some things planned and stuff like that, and they were fine. You know, we did some services with them and some teaching with them, and they were great. But the thing that they really wanted was at the end of the weekend, what they had done on various times is they gathered their group together, their team together. There were like five different families or individuals, and they gathered their team together, and they would spend time listening to the Lord and sharing what the Lord said for each one of these and just blessing and praying for them. And it would all fill them up and would give them direction for where they were supposed to go in ministry. Well, that morning, I was with one other person on our team, and we were just worshiping and praying. And it was one of the most intense worship and prayer times I think I've ever had. And I was just, it was almost like I couldn't function. I was just so full of the Lord. And we came to that time where we began to pray, and it was so amazing, because one person would, from their team, would just sit right in the middle, and everyone would gather around, and we would just wait on the Lord. We'd bless them in the name of the Lord. We'd wait on the Lord and see what the Lord wanted us to speak or to pray over them. And it was amazing how different people had absolutely right on words of direction and encouragement and filling for each person. There were things that people would stand up and say, I've been praying for that and I haven't told anybody about it. And yet the Lord spoke through this person or that person to confirm exactly what I needed to hear. But you know what the interesting thing was? By the end of that time, that was about a 2-hour period of just praying and waiting on the Lord for each one of those team members. I went into that time and I was just like so, I just physically feeling the presence of the Lord. By the end of it, I was feeling normal. I was feeling like I would every normal day. And what had happened was he had poured into me. He had taken a sponge, my life, and he had saturated it with his presence and his love and his goodness. And one by one, as we prayed, and others in our group did the same, just a little, the Lord would direct and speak, give us a word of wisdom or knowledge and something to pray for, something to speak, and be squeezed out and 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 squeezed out. Squeezed The reason for that morning, and it's been a vivid example for me for every time since, is if I went into that time just like this, the Lord could have used it. But I guarantee you, he would not have used it like that. It's been a real challenge, a real convictor for me as well. Because what I realize is those times where I've been out of my comfort zone and I've had to depend have been the times where I've seen God fill me the most and use me the most. When you're in the everyday, just normal hubbub, you know what to expect. You know what happens when your alarm gets up. You know, every day is different, but you know the people around you. You can sort of predict what's going to happen in the day. Sometimes you don't run back to the Lord like that. And it's easy to get spiritually dehydrated and dried out. Yet the Lord says, come back to me. Wait on me. Spend time with me. Replenish yourself in my presence. Because the reason we have been given is for what? For the sake of the world and for his glory. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. For the sake of the world. And so would you begin to get in the habit, if you haven't already, of in your times with the Lord, ask him this question. Lord, what do you want to give to me today? What do you want to give to me today? And then, Lord, I'm looking forward to how you want to use that for the sake of the world today. So as we come to this, the end of the series on learning to receive, may it become crystal clear for us. I hope you're getting what I'm seeking, what I believe the Lord wants us to talk about. And that is, freely you have received, not just for yourself, but so that you might freely give. And giving is not possible fully without first receiving. Freely you have received, now freely give. So go proclaim it. You're a preacher. You're a preacher. And go demonstrate it. Believe God will do some crazy stuff if you believe God still heals. He does. Believe God still casts out demons. Go work at the hard stuff. Bring the people who are on the fringes, bring them in. For the sake of the world. For the sake of the world. Let's go to prayer. Father, burn that question in my heart. And would you burn it in the hearts of my brothers and sisters too. Lord, what do you want to give me? What do you want to give me today? And Lord, then give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you are leading us to do for those around us. Father, I pray that my brothers and sisters would be proclaimers of the kingdom message, that the kingdom has come. And King Jesus, you've worked through the cross to reconcile us to yourself, to bring us into your kingdom, into your family. And Jesus, one day everything that is wrong will be made right. But your kingdom has come, and so help us to be as much proclaimers as we are demonstrators, and trusting you to demonstrate the realities of your kingdom through us. So Lord, what do you want to give me today? What do you want to give my brothers and sisters today? So that we might be used of you, that your kingdom might come, and your will be done here on this earth as it is in heaven. In the name of King Jesus, I pray. And all God's people said, amen.
For this closing song of worship, you are always welcome to do this, but just as a reminder, Please feel free to stand, or if you need to come to the altar or pray, please feel free to worship in whichever way you are in need of this morning.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. In your presence, Lord, I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is
your glory, God, is one.
So will you stand with me? So the Lord has chosen you. If you are one of His, He has chosen you to be His representative here on this earth. He's chosen to offer His very presence and has filled you with His presence for the sake of the world. That the world would know that there is a God. That the world would know that there is a Savior and His name is Jesus. That the world would know that His kingdom has come and that it is coming, He's coming again. The world would know. And so, as you go to your homes, as you go to the lost around you this week, go and proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. And go invite people to trust Jesus. And go demonstrate that kingdom to them. Go heal the sick. Go do crazy things if the Lord leads you, like raise the dead. Go cleanse the leper. Go welcome those who have been ostracized or who are not on the inside but are on the outside looking in. Go welcome them in and tell them that the kingdom belongs to such as these. Go set captives free. Because remember, freely you have received, freely give. Go in the name of Jesus who has given to you. Go in His peace. Amen.